Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome to the Steve Jones Show. Steve will be joining us from the Sunbury Motors Studio here in just a few moments. As you heard, a rather busy day with a lot of things going on that we'll try and delve into today. The first of which, of course, has to do with the Governor Corbett lawsuit that has been thrown out now. We're trying to catch up with Bob Buhner and get the legal side of that and what that means. Penguins went losing last night and went down 3-0 in the series with the Bruins. That means that they're going to have to do something that is not done very often, and that is come up with four straight wins and do it in against a team that has just outscored them and outplayed them in every aspect of the game. Tonight, the NBA kicks off their, or should say tips off, their NBA Finals. And Phil Jackson earlier today surprised a lot of folks by picking the San Antonio Spurs to win the NBA Finals. We'll chat a little bit about that. We'll get your take on the situation in Philadelphia. Some pitching changes coming up in Philly with some pitchers coming back into the starting lineup again. And what does that mean for some of the guys that actually have pitched fairly well along the way? Those are just some of the things we'll be chatting about.
Yeah, we will. We will. We could talk about your tournament yesterday.
No, we don't have to chat about that. We do
first
not
of all,
have to chat about that.
First of all, I would like to thank everyone at the Susquehanna Valley Country Club for their great hospitality. The course was in absolutely outstanding, pristine condition. The staff was the friendliest I've dealt with, both within the confines of the restaurant or the pro shop. And I'd like to thank the volunteers from the Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA for treating us like absolute gold. Yes. Great time. We had a great group. Mark Mahoney is not only an outstanding player, but an even better young man. Drew Kelly is a good friend. He's been a good friend for a long time, and of course, Kevin and I are the best of friends. And we had a great time out there yesterday, and we want to thank everybody for that. What are you waiting for, the punchline or what?
Did I what?
You're waiting for the punchline?
I figured there was one coming sooner or later, you know.
No.
I was prepared.
There's no punchline. The lawsuit tossed out today by Judge Yvette Kane. I saw someone say that Kathleen Kane tossed it out. Nah, really tough for the state attorney general to do that.
Oops.
But it's Judge Yvette Kane, Middle District Court, and the decision was made to, it took less than 5 months to toss it. Less than 5 months to toss the case. So we're going to try and get a hold of Bob Buhner, by the way.
Do I sense some sarcasm there?
No.
Less than 5 months?
No, I was just making a factual statement.
Oh, all right.
I was only making a factual statement. I wasn't, no. No, no sarcasm at all.
Well, I guess her comment was that it was a Hail Mary pass.
Yeah, she threw some football terminology in there and so forth, you know. I mean, I'm no expert on the law. I see the light red, I stop. I can ask some questions about it, but no. I saw the NCAA statement. There are too many games being played. Dave in Sunbury. Dave, it was great to see you out there yesterday.
Hello, Steve.
Great to have you out there yesterday, Dave.
Great to be there.
Well, thank you for coming out. Thank you for the wonderful gift, by the way, and the really nice card.
Absolutely.
I appreciate it very, very much. That was awfully nice, and I passed on the article that you gave me.
Oh, and well, what did he say?
They'll take a look.
Just read it yet.
Yeah, I didn't really get a chance. They'll take a look. That's all.
Well, I told Kevin after you already left, but I said the stuff inside the bag, I thought it was appropriate with the bag that I found.
Absolutely, I thought that's beautiful. I thought it was an absolutely beautiful piece.
Well, I said, you know, I was gonna get you. Machines and Wises has a Eli Manning, a little doll.
Okay.
But then I thought, nah. And I was looking for something for you and Kevin both. And it's from Bonworth, which is affiliated with Bonton, but it's a Christian store. They, you know, sell stuff mainly ladies' apparel.
Yes.
I find those Afghans and stuff.
The Golf Afghan is beautiful.
I found one for him for that. I gave it to him last night. But I said, I just thought you guys would appreciate that.
No, it was great. Thank you so much.
Yeah, very, very touched by the gift. Thank you.
Yeah, well, I said, you know, like I told Kevin after you'd already left, I said, hey, this is just part of that, you know, combination of the viewers that are listening that can call and say, hey, you know, you're basically part of the family.
Exactly. We appreciate that very much. Now, I mean, there's one problem with it. I mean, Lawrence is now whining, like, where's his, you know, Drew Kelly, where's, you know, it's just, I mean, everybody's got their hands out, Dave. You know how it goes.
Well,
I'm just kidding. Dave. I'm kidding.
Ask Kevin what I wrote on the front of the card for him.
Yeah. You had a few wee's on there for me.
I did a Maxwell on him.
That's right.
You should see Kevin, the look on Kevin. In fact, you saw it. Yes, we had other people there as well. They saw the look on Kevin's face yesterday when I said that Roethlisberger had surgery on his knee.
Yeah.
There's a trapdoor on that knee. I'm not worried about it. It's been opened so many times, they just put a hinge on it.
Just to see the reaction was enough for me.
Well, there was a bit of news on recruiting in the paper today, but I won't mention it. Yeah. If you know what I mean, Steve.
Yes, I do.
Okay.
I can never talk about these things that I've known.
Yeah, I know.
Like, there's certain things I know about for a period of time that I can't talk about because it's an NCAA violation. And
but
you feel bad.
Okay, February, right?
Right. There's a part of you where you feel badly on the show where you know things, and you really can't go there. I can go other places with you. I just can't do that.
Yeah. See, that's why I said. That's why I said what I said.
Yeah.
Well, Ronnie, brother, when I came home after church, he said, yeah, I heard you in the background a little bit there. I said, well, that one guy said that they ought to get the radio and the TV going, and then I can call in and do wee.
Yes, that's right. I think we lost Dave. Do I lose it?
Well, I'll hang up and listen and see. You can get a hold of Bob Buehner about that deal. But I think, being honest, another lawsuit that those other people are doing might have better legs, to be truthfully honest.
Well, again, there are certain standards that have to be met by an antitrust suit, because in the end, when you're talking about an antitrust suit, if it's found in favor of the plaintiff, the damages are trebled. So when you're talking about damages being tripled in something like that, there are certain standards that have to be met in the suit. Judge Yvette Kane evidently felt that there were not those standards met for her to allow the case to continue.
Well, to be honest...
And the other one is not an antitrust suit. The other one is just a lawsuit, not an antitrust suit. Different standard that has to be met for that.
Yeah. So I just said, you know, that's the whole thing. And I have my opinion about that whole situation, that if, to be honest, if that individual who's now the governor would have started something way back when, that a lot of people wouldn't have been involved in that mess anyway.
Right.
That's just my opinion, you know.
But well, it's an opinion, Dave, that a lot of people share with you, and when it comes to the politics of it, I'll let Mark Lawrence and On the Mark deal with that end of it, because I really feel that it's important that news shows, sports shows need to be, I mean, there's some crossover between the two. If there's a need at some point where I need to cross that line and talk about it, I will. I don't see the need for me to do that yet. Mark can handle that in the morning.
Yeah, well, go ahead. But that's what I call in to asking about, you know, the latest guy had signed or something like that. To stay mainly with that side of the conversation.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, I mean, there are a lot of things we could talk about. And look, I have done a lot of talking, in part because the events have forced me to, about lawsuits or the case itself or about what people need to do moving forward, which people have asked me repeatedly about. And I've given answers. And, in fact, I had lunch today with Jason Dombach, the general manager of the State College Spikes, and he said, Steve, he says, How have you handled certain aspects? And we talked about that, about some of the things I've had to talk about along the way. It's, you know, sometimes I've had very little time to think about it. Other times I've had a little more time to think about it. You kind of get refined as to how you end up answering things. At this particular stage, I think people do realize at times that you're caught in the middle. There are a lot of people that don't give a damn if you're caught in the middle. But I think there are people that do realize that you are.
Yeah, I said, you know, I just said basically, well, there's an article in the local paper about Dave Joyner talking about Bill O'Brien, like, you know, his contract and going beyond, you know.
Right.
His wish is that Bill O'Brien will never leave the university. I said, well
I think a lot.
there comes a point, you know, your life when it's time to retire, too.
Yeah, but he's younger than I am. Billy's 43 years old? I mean, look, he has eight more seasons remaining on this contract right now. Eight more seasons.
Well,
so now
it's like what Joyner said basically in the article. It says, let's do another contract with eight more years. He's already that far ahead of us. Wait, wait a minute here. Let's put, you know, the gentleman get through this year.
Right. Holy cow. That's one thing Bill is absolutely not worried about. Bill's not sitting there worried about his contract. I don't think his agent Joe Lynt is worried about it either. And Joe Lynt has been a pretty busy guy. He's also the guy that negotiated Joe Flacco's deal with the Ravens.
Well, my whole family basically said that they think that he's doing an outstanding job, and that
he is.
That the university is the plus for it, and that this whole thing about all these sanctions and stuff, that they're just taking them one day at a time and moving forward and go from there. Instead of, you know, looking and saying, woe was me, just, you know, just suck it up and go.
Well, you can't. I mean, when you're involved in it in a day-to-day basis, you have to suck it up and just go forward. When you're involved in it in a day-to-day basis, I mean, you just can't sit there in the fetal position and say, oh, woe is me. As I pointed out to people many times, there are people with means that are willing to fight this, okay? You need means to fight it. So if they wish to fight it and they have the means to do it, let them. In the meantime, everybody else has to really do their job and do what they're supposed to do. I have to get ready for a Syracuse broadcast on the 31st. I have to get ready for a basketball broadcast with Longwood in November. I mean, there are things like that that you have to do. You know, I got a baseball broadcast coming up with Williamsport coming. So you do what you do within the moment. And, of course, on a show like this, I have more latitude to talk about such issues. But at the same time, you can't get there are people fighting it. Let them fight. You can't really get bogged down in it, because if you do, then it hurts what your job happens to be at the moment. And Bill, you know, and he and his staff have done that, where they've just taken, like, this is our job, this is what we do, we're going to do it. Now they have certainly their hands tied, because their hands are tied by probation, number of scholarships given out, and things like that, which has made the job much, much tougher. Dave, we have to take a break. I appreciate the call, and Kevin and I appreciate the gifts very much.
Absolutely.
Don't worry about the whining from Lawrence about, you know, where's mine. I mean, it's just, you know. Although it was fun having Mark out there yesterday, wasn't it?
Yeah. Could have used him as a caddy yesterday.
That sounded enthusiastic. Look, I'm sorry. You know, it'd take more than a caddy to help certain games. All right, we'll come back with more here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Ready for a quality pre-owned vehicle? Well, get them before they go to auction at Sunbury Motors. Go to sunburymotors.com and click on pre-auction blowout. Like a 2008 Honda Fit HB Mansport. Call for our lowest price promise, 888-536-8017. 2010 Chevy Equinox four-wheel drive LT 13985. 2010 Ford Focus, reliable and affordable, just $13,997. 2011 Ford Escape four-wheel drive XLT, just $18,877. 2010 Ford Roush Mustang 427R, a must-see, $33,995. And a 2009 GMC Canyon Crew Cab. Call for a price, 888-536-8017. These deals won't last, so hurry in. All come with a Carfax report and our lowest price promise. Pre-auction blowout, 24-7 at sunburymotors.com, at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at our dealership, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
Next half hour, Steve Samsel, who writes a column that appears in several newspapers statewide on media. We're talking about coverage of the Stanley Cup playoffs, NBA finals, so forth. Coming up next half hour, Bob Buhner on the lawsuit being tossed out today by Judge Yvette Kane in the Middle District Court in Harrisburg. She tossed it out today. I wouldn't have quoted Girardi and just said gone. But, I mean, you know, that was her choice. We'll have Buhner on at 4:06. So, we also have Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report, as an option as well.
Time permitting. He's in the green room right now waiting. It's kind of like a Leno. Sometimes you run out of time and they have to come back tomorrow.
Yeah, we might. We might do that. Now, tomorrow we're going to be talking about the Major League Baseball draft. We have a lot to talk about with the draft.
There's a lot of familiar names in the draft, too.
Yes, there are a lot of legacy names. I'm also going to give you a column, actually 4:36, on PED use. Murray Chass wrote a column on this, how today's reporters are awful when it comes to sports history. And we talk about sports history here all the time because it's such a great teacher.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
You're on Lawrence's show now?
I don't know. I didn't realize I was ultra conservative. I always thought of myself as, you know, moderate, leaning a little right.
What does the first K in WKOK stand for, Kevin?
I like that idea, though. That's a brilliant idea.
Wow.
I'm excited. It's a big day for me.
What, you woke up?
Well, I started the day excited for that reason, but...
Wow. All right, there's a lot going on. Look, we enjoy television sports. I enjoy listening to Chris Wheeler do a baseball game with Tommy McCarthy, Merrill Reese, national broadcasts. Sometimes we're critical announcers. Sometimes we're not. The guy that listens to all of this is Steve Samsel. We've had Steve on before. Steve, welcome back. I want to start, by the way, with the Stanley Cup playoffs. When you look at the team of Doc Emmerich, Eddie Olczyk, whose son Tommy is the captain for the Penn State hockey team, and Pierre Maguire inside the glass between the benches. What do you think of that broadcast, how seamless that broadcast is?
I did a little tweet last night, not that anybody follows on Twitter either. I don't know that there's a broadcast group, especially led by Emmerich, that fit the sport as well or better than them. I mean, there might be broadcast teams that are equal, but that group in particular does hockey really well. They know each other. The game, you know, it just, whether you're into the game as a hardcore fan or a more casual observer, it fits, it feels comfortable. They convey the excitement. They don't miss the action. It seems like that's how hockey should be done all the time. And it is, I think, for Penguins fans in terms of what they get and even in Philadelphia and some other markets. But nationally, they do a really good job. At least from what I see, they do a really good job.
This is what strikes me, is that you have two guys sitting next to each other in the booth. Doc Emmerich is about as fine a play-by-play guy on TV as you're going to hear. And Olchek. And you can look at each other. There's some eye contact. And that always lessens that step-on factor. But then you have Pierre, who's there between the glass, who, by the way, did a great job last night hitting the cough button and knocking out the Marchand exchange, which evidently was profanity-laced. But they never step on each other. I mean, and to do that when you're not actually sitting together, I think it's amazing.
Well, especially, again, in hockey, in such a fast-paced environment, I guess my contrast would be to the NFL side with the Tony Siragusa group that does it with Kenny Albert and Moose Johnston. I mean, they do it somewhat the same way, but it doesn't seem as smooth, and the NFL game doesn't move as fast as a hockey game, and it seemed like there'd be some more natural places for that third person to jump in. And the hockey threesome that we're talking about even does it better than that group.
Without question. Now it's going to be the NBA guys. They take their turn tonight. And Mike Breen, who, by the way, spoke on campus at Penn State, I want to say 18 months ago, somewhere
in
that neighborhood.
Right. Yep.
Because Mike spoke in my class. He was outstanding. He, along with Jim O'Connell. What about the NBA group and how they cover it?
I think the NBA group does a really – I think Breen is really good. I think Van Gundy, when he does stuff, is really good. And the studio shows get a lot of attention from the national media types just because they're saying things for reaction. But, I think fans know it's there for reaction and take it for what it's worth. But in terms of game coverage, I think Mike Breen is underappreciated in a lot of ways because he's just so smooth and doesn't miss anything. And they have a great chemistry when they work together in terms of whether it's eye contact or whether it's familiarity from having been a coach and a broadcaster and now a broadcaster together with that twosome, that just they you feel like you're sitting in a conversation with them and you're still getting informed and you're not missing any of the action either.
I talked with Stan Van Gundy, Jeff Van Gundy's brother, because Stan did the Penn State LaSalle game back in December for NBC Sports Net. And Dick and I were chit-chatting with him about, you know, what he wanted to do, whether he wanted to coach or whether he wanted to announce like his brother. And he said, you know what, one thing about his brother, I said, you know, does Jeff enjoy it enough where he can stay away from coaching? He said he really enjoys it a lot. He said, but you know what? He says Jeff gives a ton of credit to Mike Breen for the way he's brought him along.
Well, and I think that's true. I mean, and I know you talk about the people that you work with in terms of football and basketball and always credit your partners, but I think a lot has to go to the play-by-play guy. I mean, I think whether it's that national broadcaster, you, the play-by-play guy has to put those folks in a position to succeed. And initially maybe it's being more overt with questions, saying, what do you think about that when a relationship begins, or offering that door, opening it more widely. But then once you've done something, as long as, say, you have with the guys you work with, it is, it becomes a natural flow. They know when to jump in. They know when your voice intonation is letting them in without that question having to be asked. And there's so much. It's such an art for the play-by-play guy to put that, you know, color guy in a position to succeed. And I think Breen does that well.
So we're also at that time of the year where there are different sports on at different times. We just went through the Indy 500. NASCAR just had its big 600-mile race. I want to get to the NASCAR 600-mile race because that was a race where television played a role potentially in the outcome of the race because of technology. When you saw that happen, because they're trying to put cameras in all different spots so we can see things from angles that we've never seen before, what was your thought that television was actually involved in the outcome?
I think you're interested in how they're going to respond to it, and I guess on a bigger scale, it's funny. ESPN has gotten so much attention for hiring an ombudsman and what they're going to do to critique their work, and I think some of that call for criticism or call for critique, a self-critique, should stretch to the other sports networks as well, especially as Fox Sports 1 starts up and NBC Sports Network, because those folks, they might not be the behemoth that ESPN is, but they're as apt to tweak the rules or try something different that maybe doesn't work as anybody else. So I think that should always be there. And I think TV, you know, as much as they make the games possible by funding the leagues and funding the relationships, you're always worried about what's going to come into play. And I guess a camera dropping on a NASCAR race was one of the least things I expected. But it also shows the influence of video games. I mean, it shows those camera views that video game people kind of envisioned. Oh, we're going to create a video look that looks like this. And it, in some ways, the broadcasters are trying to replicate that or top it. And you'll see that even in basketball games or football games. People are used to that high center camera angle. You know, this is what a football game looks like from here, and this is what a basketball game looks like from here. And every once in a while, some producer or director wants to show you a different look to show you that they have it. And it's kind of disconcerting for the viewer. But, you know, you have that technology and you have to use it. And in that instance, with the Coke 600, they had the technology and the cable broke, and it impacted the race.
It absolutely impacted the race. It made a huge difference to certain cars, and it also makes a difference to them maybe in the overall points race because their cars were damaged by what happened. Fox tried to be, I think, upfront with it, but I think you're right. I think that ESPN makes an effort, but I'll give you – Murray Chass wrote an article today, and it was actually more about the ESPN.com guys, but it also warps over into the area of ESPN on the air. And that's the story with Rodriguez and Braun, and they're saying this is the biggest drug scandal ever. And Chass brought it back to the 80s. Dave Parker, Willie Mays, interesting names that were involved in certain things in the 80s. Do you get concerned when you write about television sports that when they talk about, quote, biggest scandal, you know, and use that word because it has greater impact to get the story out, that history is not a good teacher for them, or they ignore history?
Yeah, I was going to say, I think it sometimes it's just being unaware of the history. I mean, for me, there's two things, and then sometimes I guess maybe I don't always practice what I preach, but I'm trying to get better at it. It is patience and some perspective. I mean, you know, a week ago, everybody was ready to bury the Heat, you know, and, oh, with Game 7, it's going to be over, and this is how they're going to rework the roster, and this is, well, here we are, and they're in the finals.
Yeah.
You know, and those stories changed in less than 48 hours, but people have to tell a story and have to talk about what's going on. At least they feel they do. There's no patience to let something play out, and I appreciate you have to do a story after the game and offer some perspective, but there's no patience for that. And then the other piece is the perspective. You know, I mean, for a lot of the folks that are writing the latest drug story with the folks and with stuff that happened in Miami and all the names, you know, how many of them, I don't want to say were alive in the 80s, because probably some of them were, but some of them weren't either, especially as you talk about the blogs and people that are just, you know, that writing stuff are just young and don't know or don't think, you know, don't take that extra second to say, has this ever happened before? You know, has it happened before and can it happen again? And I think those are things that's just another step along with who, what, when, where, why, and how, that if you think about when you're doing a story, it gives you a little bit better perspective, and then it helps the fans out and the readers.
And that's the lack of history part. I think it's an obligation of a reporter, if they didn't live through it, to go back and find out about it.
And it's hard. I mean, and that's the tough part is, it's not hard. It's harder than being given the information or going to a news conference or whatever else. It is that next step of reporting. It's the part that isn't in the game notes or isn't in the court, you know, adjudication or filing that's easy to grab, or that somebody tells you in an interview. It's you got to go back and look, and maybe it hasn't been archived somewhere. Maybe it's not easily found online. And I think that's where the disconnect happens, because it is that next step sometimes, and people don't always take it.
We're also, you know, you mentioned the Miami Heat in the final. The Stanley Cup final is going to be actually behind the NBA final for the first time ever. Colin Cowherd was making a point in his show. He said the reason we talk about it is that it's ratings driven. It's not just because they cover the sport on ESPN. He said that the NHL doesn't do well enough for them to talk about it as often. I know where that sports can be regionalized, but you look at overall ratings as well. Does the NBA do as well as it's portrayed verbally?
Probably not, but I think when you talk about Colin in terms of that kind of argument for him, I think the NHL will be interesting in this instance because you're going to have markets where ESPN and ESPN Radio have a presence, so it'll, and a bigger presence, so it'll be interesting to see what they do. I mean, the NBA does, I don't know if it does as well as it's portrayed with him, but I think it does better than some people think. I mean, TNT just set a record with that Heat game. Game 7 with the Pacers was one of the highest rated, I guess the highest rated game on TNT ever. So they're starting to, you know, there's an awareness there and people are watching. It's just not as big as some other things, and certainly nothing's as big as football. But live sports, you know, as you know, is the thing that still drives ratings because people watch live sports. And the NBA has drama and characters and personalities, and it's still going to be something that people are watching. Maybe not as much in this area or this region, but people are watching.
I'll say this. A lot of people may not realize this, but the television ratings for sports in Pittsburgh, whether it's the Steelers, the Pirates, or the Penguins, I think people would be shocked how high the ratings are in Pittsburgh when a Pittsburgh team is playing. You track this.
But the Penguins numbers have been huge. I mean, they said regional, I didn't see the final, but they were the highest throughout the regular season except for maybe the Seattle, it was one of the Seattle teams a couple of years ago. I mean,
Mariners.
Everybody watches. Yeah, I mean, everybody watches when the Penguins are playing, and the playoff numbers, I'm sure, have been huge in Pittsburgh. I mean, it's just maybe the Pirates aren't as big because the season's longer, but Root Sports, which has an agreement through, I think it's 28, 29 with the Penguins, signed it when they were doing, you know, 8 ratings a couple years ago, or maybe last year they signed it, and, you know, this year they were doing 16s at times. So it's people watch the Penguins, they care. Obviously, people watch the Steelers. They're always one of the top 3 or 4 teams. You talk about how many people are watching in a market. The Steelers are right up there with the Packers and some other teams. So, yeah, it's a passion, and people watch, and it is that sense of community that still exists there and comes through in both the broadcasts and as a form of enjoyment for those who are watching.
One final thing. How much interest are you going to take in how the antitrust suit played out with it being tossed today?
I'll be interested to see how. I mean, I guess I'm not surprised. I guess I wouldn't have been shocked which either way that it went.
Right.
But I'll be interested to see what the storylines are that come out of it. And I think it's always interesting to see, you know, what news organizations think is the story and then what the reaction is, whether, you know, the goodwill that the governor was looking for was enough and it happened for those who follow that perspective, or whether folks who were, you know, were really serious about it feel it's a blow. I mean, you know, it's just another step in the process of stories that are going to come out of this whole thing. I mean, you're kind of fearful when one thing ends, what the next thing is going to be. I guess that would be my biggest concern. Whenever one of these things ends in this whole scenario, something else pops up and rears its head, and you know, you're just kind of curious what that next thing is going to be and hopeful that at some point there's not going to be a next thing.
You know, people ask me what I did today, and I said I worked at Ohio State.
Right.
That, right. And people ask me about that. And I mean, I literally do work that far ahead because I have more time to do it now. And the week by week, when you're trying to do it week by week, those are a lot of names and information to put down. If you can get ahead on information, you can make life a little easier. So, well, Steve, thanks so much. It is always a pleasure, my friend. Appreciate it. And I guess you asked about the U.S. Open. We're going to try and get down there and be there on Wednesday and Thursday next week. So,
great. Thank you, Steve, very much.
Steve Samsel with us on the show. Bob Buhner coming up, 4:06, to discuss why the antitrust lawsuit filed by Governor Corbett was tossed today and not allowed to move forward by Judge Yvette Kane from the Middle District Court in Harrisburg, and also what the basic differences are between the lawsuit filed by the 5 groups last week versus an antitrust suit that the governor attempted to file. We'll come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right, today the lawsuit tossed out by Judge Yvette Kane. I actually saw a headline that said Kathleen Kane tossed it out. I said, I don't think the Attorney General did that.
a little bit higher up the ladder. But Judge Yvette Kane tossed it today, the antitrust suit filed by the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania against the NCAA, and NCAA Donald Remy put out a statement, blah, 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 whatever, which is just more...
blah, 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 whatever.
That's what it comes down to. I mean, it's so, you know, you expect people to put out a statement and react. Okay, fine. But we're more cynical now than we were 30, 40 years ago about such things.
Well, I know I am.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't mean just about what he put out. I mean, you know, he's whatever. I mean, all you have to do is just say, hey, look, you know, we're glad it got tossed out. Okay, that's simple enough. You know, you don't have to make a political statement about everything that comes down the road. Just say, you know, I'm glad it got tossed out. I mean, you know, any antitrust, let me, when the results are troubled, you're glad to see anything get tossed out like that. And I think the governor's put out a statement. I haven't seen it yet, though. But moving forward, it's not the, there's still the other suit that has to be dealt with. It's a different kind of suit, and that's why Bob Buehner will talk about the differences between the two. It's hard to predict how that will go. That was filed in the Center County Court. This was filed in the Middle District Court of Pennsylvania. In Harrisburg, and you know, in less than 5 months, she looked at it and she decided that she saw no merit in moving forward. You know, didn't want to waste the time or the money because she didn't see the merit. She saw if she saw some merit, I'm sure she would have pushed forward with it, but did not. I mean, Penn State. I mean, the football program can't worry about it one way or the other. They know what they're dealing with and what the rules are they're dealing with at this particular hour. And there's also an article in the Associated Press that two members of the Board of Trustees are hoping that down the road the sanctions will change. You have to sit there on this particular day at this particular moment, this particular hour, and assume it won't be changed. You have to assume that, not because of the suit or anything like that. Even when the lawsuit was in place, the antitrust suit was in place, you still had to assume that things were going to stay in place. As I've told everybody, this is a six-year sanction. There's 1 year down, five more to go. And people have not understood the six-year part. They haven't understood it. I've tried to explain it here over and over again that you see 4 years, 4 years, 4 years. It's not 4 years. It's how it's done in six. Last year was year one. At 8-4, they should have been in a bowl game. They weren't. Year one. This year, same thing. Year two, no bowl game. Next year will be 65 scholarships and no bowl game. 15 will be no scholarships. Will be no bowl game and 65 scholarships. But then in 16, you can go to a bowl game, but you still have 65 scholarships. And in 17, you go to a bowl game, but you still have 65 scholarships. Voila, 6 years. I mean, that's where you sit back and you ask, exactly where was the judgment and fairness to the current players and the current coaching staff in this in what they put out?